The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to think if we criminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Tuesday, October 25th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next hour podcast and another live hour following that with all the news, interviews, music, information, comedy, everything you could want in a marijuana show. We got it for you today, starting out by going to our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon for the lovely Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie. Carrie.
Hi, I'm sorry.
Bueller.
That mute button, yeah, it's crazy. I need a real mixer like you now. It would be better if I had all those little knobs and buttons, but I have a digital, so it's weird.
Oh, you know, we can send you up with the little Mackie mixer if that'll help.
You know what? I was just thinking about tearing my studio down today. Sounds like a fun project.
All right, we'll make that our weekend project.
Nice.
What do we have in our news today, Carrie?
Well, I'm excited. You know, there's more and more news about marijuana in the mainstream all the time. Today we are going to cover a protest that's going on. President Barack Obama is down in San Francisco today for a luncheon, and we've got cannabis activists showing up, and I think that's great. We'll talk about that. Also, a Colombian president has come out and asked for help in the global market against drugs, and also some more fallout from those California dispensary letters. All that coming up on the news.
All right. We're going to look forward to that coming up after our first break. Also joining us on the show today, we have Todd Armstrong with Todd's Toker Topics. How you doing today, Todd?
Excellent. Yourself, how you doing, Russ?
Well, I'm doing good. Having a little trouble getting all the knobs here, but working out so far.
We all have trouble getting all the knobs. That's the important thing.
Todd is Todd is twittering out there at Goob the Knob. Speaking of knobs,
yes, I'm an expert in knobs.
I guess
that's why I'm here helping out Russ with his.
That's right. What is your that's the nicest offer I've had all day. What is your topic for today, Todd?
Hypocrisy and the posers thereof.
Oh my goodness, we only have an hour show, man.
I'm gonna squeeze it in 5 to 7.
5 to 7. Wow. All right. So we got that coming up.
Fast.
Yeah, we got that on today's show. Also, we've got video from RTV, that's Russia TV, Paul Armentano being interviewed on plans by Big Pharma to get the DEA to reschedule, now get this, reschedule THC if it's being used by pharmaceutical companies grown in the plant to make pills, but if you're growing it in your basement to make blunts, then no, it would still be illegal. It's an amazing contradiction, you know, speaking of hypocrisy. So Paul Armentano will be talking about that later on. And then at the end of the show, we'll have time for a little bit of a radical rant. Some recent comments by Stevie D'Angelo from Harborside regarding Richard Lee and Prop 19 kind of have me, I got a few things to say about it. Let's just leave it at that. This is Normal Show Live, Voice of the Marijuana Nation. We'll be right back with the news and more after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
The Washington Post is reporting that the Mexican government has allowed domestic marijuana and opium production to climb to record levels. Current Mexican President Felipe Calderon has been in office since 2006 and has tried to tackle his country's drug problem with military techniques, a tactic that activists have said is partially responsible for the thousands of deaths at the hands of powerful drug cartels. Part of the tactic has now involved military troops that were once used to cut and burn the illegal crops to patrol the streets in cities and towns where the violence associated with drug trafficking has gotten out of hand. Since the military forces are now being used to wage war in urban areas against the crime gangs, the fields of poppies and acreages of marijuana have grown relatively free, tucked away in low population areas of the country. According to the U.S. State Department, Mexico's opium poppy fields are the second leading heroin producer in the world, right behind Afghanistan, whose crops are mostly headed to Europe and Asia. The fight against Mexico's drug cartels has exposed a major weakness, since the goal is to reduce the amount of drugs in Mexico that are headed for U.S. streets. Since the drug war in Mexico has become one of fighting gunmen in the streets of Mexican towns, now run by drug gangs such as Monterrey, their commitment and willingness to spend time in the countryside ripping up marijuana and poppy plants has waned, sending more and more marijuana and heroin made in Mexico into American streets. U.S. officials have little control over pressuring the country to spend time on eradication efforts when the need to combat urban violence is so urgent. U.S. and Mexican governments are hoping to catch high-value shipments from the cartels and hopefully capture or kill the top gang leaders in the process. In 2005, Mexican troops burned more than 77,000 acres of marijuana, and last year, they cleared only 43,000, even though Mexican intelligence finds that the acreage of planted marijuana crops have risen and not fallen since 2005. Seizures of marijuana have increased over time as well, with border seizures of 1 million kilograms seized in 2006 to 1.5 million kilograms seized last year. Heroin seizures on the border have also tripled during that same period.
Well, you know, this is one of the talking points that the prohibitionists like to use when we bring up marijuana legalization. You know, we like to say, let's take this business out of the hands of the Mexican cartels. Let us grow marijuana right here on our side of the border and just eliminate that for them. They say, well, you know, these guys aren't Boy Scouts. They'll just turn to other harder drugs. They'll be, you know, producing methamphetamine and producing, you know, opium poppies for heroin, you know, and trafficking cocaine. They do all these terrible things. And the one thing I always fail to understand in this is, where exactly does Mexico manufacture the addicts to take those drugs, right? Because there's kind of this, you know, steady level of people that are willing to take heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, and end up getting addicted to it and being those regular customers, right? So if we legalize the marijuana trade and all the people that are smoking marijuana can get it from domestic sources, who are the people that suddenly now want to smoke heroin or smoke meth or smoke crack? Who are these people that are suddenly going to want to take these drugs and provide that business to these guys? All of this time and energy that the Mexican government, that the American government is spending trying to eradicate marijuana, trying to tamp down the violence that's happening because largely of that marijuana trade, is time that they're not spending going after heroin fields, cocaine, all these other things. And not to mention human trafficking that's going on here across the border as well. Eliminating marijuana from the equation eliminates a large percentage of what these people are involved in, and it eliminates that the American demand for that being fulfilled by these criminal gangsters. It's time for us, like all of these Latin American presidents are starting to say, like Vicente Fox was saying on the show from video yesterday, it's time to legalize to take that business out of the hands of criminals.
Those California federal attorney letters condemning dispensaries continue to ransack the medical marijuana dispensary industry in California. In Fontana, a town in Southern California in San Bernardino County, the city's police chief has taken a clue from the U.S. attorneys and has started a similar campaign to rid his town of medical marijuana dispensaries. Fontana officials are hoping that a tough new policy that they set in place with the help of the pressure of federal attorneys will make it easier to get the doors closed on local marijuana shops. Police Chief Rodney Jones personally has mailed out 1,000 notices to Fontana retail and commercial property owners, warning them that to rent a space to a marijuana dispensary will risk the forfeiture of their property to the federal government. Police Chief Jones says that Fontana City Code makes it illegal to operate medical marijuana dispensaries. And in a meeting today with the Fontana Chamber of Commerce, Chief Jones explained why enforcing the strict ordinance is difficult and expensive for the city. Through various legal actions, the city has been trying to close down a few dispensaries that are in violation of codes for over a year now. Jones reminded property owners who attended the public meeting that marijuana is still a Schedule I drug and it is illegal to, quote, knowingly open, lease, rent, maintain, or use property for the manufacturing, storing, or distribution of controlled substances, including marijuana, a sentiment he included in his mass mailing to property owners. Jones said that the federal attorneys may file the forfeiture order without sending a warning notice if they feel the property owner was aware of the illegal activity on their land. Also in the letter, a warning that operators of medical marijuana dispensaries will offer more rent than is being asked, a risk he says is not worth it over losing your property. Councilman and commercial space landlord Michael Tahan told the council that a real estate agent who was working to lease some space he owns brought him a top dollar offer, plus 5 months rent up front, plus 2 months rent as a deposit, an offer suspicious in these economic times. Turns out it was a medical marijuana dispensary making the offer, which he forcefully declined when he found out. A neighbor of a dispensary in town also complained about finding a man passed out in his front yard one morning and that he picks up fast food wrappers daily and recently found a filled marijuana prescription bottle on the street, which happened to be close to a middle school. Town officials say they are welcoming the help of the U.S. attorneys.
Okay, so the sheriff here, county sheriff, believes that he needs to send out letters to inform people about what the federal laws are. So I'm looking forward for the Fontana sheriff to be sending out those letters about taking off my shoes at the airport, you know, and putting the liquids into bottles, because that is, you know, another federal law he should be informing people about. And let's not forget all the federal laws with respect to immigrations and visas. He should start sending those letters. I mean, come on now. Sheriff's job is to enforce the local and state laws. And under state law in California, people have a right to medical marijuana. And they've got to be able to get that medical marijuana from somewhere. Not everybody is skilled enough to grow it. Not everybody is in the circumstance where they can grow it. But this just continues a way for the people that hate marijuana to get around the general public's liking of the issue. We're at 50% for legalization now, 75% for medical marijuana. And the people in power can't fight the will of the people anymore. They can't fight it on the facts or the science of the issue. So they're going to use these financial tactics. They're going to use these threats to landlords, to people that might not be very well educated on the subject of medical marijuana and what's going on here. They're going to use the courts, and they're going to use ways to that don't generate the big headlines and the big protest opportunities. They're going to try to find a way to shut this down by any means necessary. It's time that we keep putting the spotlight on this, continue to protest this, and continue to let the Obama administration and any future administration know that medical marijuana is not going away. We're going to continue to fight for us, and you cannot deny us our freedom and our rights.
Yesterday, we brought you the video of ex-Mexican President Vicente Fox calling for cannabis law reform. Well, now current Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos, who in an interview on Sunday called for the global legalization of marijuana, but said that his country could not be the one to lead the way. In an interview on Sunday, Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos called for the global legalization of marijuana, but said his country couldn't be the one that stepped in front. Santos also called for a tougher, smarter approach to international drug trafficking and hard drug use. President Santos said the world needs to discuss new approaches since we have been basically thinking within the same framework for the last 40 years. Colombia remains a world leader of cocaine production, but they have made progress in the fight against violent drug cartels as the two largest families were toppled in the last 20 years. The country is still plagued with many cartels that fill in the drug trafficking market. When pressured by the interview whether marijuana legalization could further reduce violence, he answered that he would support legalization, but only if it were a global move. He said that it would be too much of an undertaking for Colombia to do it alone because of national security, since the country is still plagued with traffickers. He said he would be crucified to take the first step. He would like the global input of looking at the profit and crime that follows drug trafficking, how it is often involved with money laundering and arms trades. Seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah, and when you look deeper into this issue, especially on a global scale, you find so much involved with banking and monetary, world monetary policy that's involved with this global trafficking of drugs. It's propping up a number of countries. It's fueling a number of governments. Even our own government's off-the-books black operations are many times fueled by illicit drug money that never gets reported, never has to be voted on by Congress, never has to be approved for a budget. This is so deep, this war on drugs. People don't even recognize it sometimes. They see the people going to prison. They see the devastation of drug addiction. They see the no-knock raids. That's just the tip of the iceberg. The tendrils of marijuana and drug prohibition are so deeply entwined into every aspect of business, of government, of law in this nation and throughout the world that it's not going to be any easy magic silver bullet solution to end this global prohibition. But the first step is these leaders stepping out and starting to talk about it. Not ex-presidents like what we have with Vicente Fox, but current presidents. We have the current president of Mexico, Felipe Calderon, actually saying we need to explore, quote, market alternatives. He can't come out and say the L word, can't come out and say legalization, but he's exploring market alternatives. Juan Manuel Santos here coming out, calling for legalization, but saying that his country can't be the first one to step out, can't be the first mole to poke out of the gopher hole there and get the old whack-a-mole beat down on here. It has to be the United States. We led the world into this global prohibition. We have got to lead the world out of it.
And this may be a sign of things to come as politically savvy cannabis consumers learn how to pressure the U.S. government into examining cannabis law reform. Today, President Barack Obama is making his first rounds of political campaigning for the 2012 election, and a group of medical marijuana advocates are protesting his visit. Obama is attending a fundraising lunch in San Francisco today at the W Hotel, along with a crowd of $7,500 per plate supporters. Members of the city's marijuana community have turned out. They started showing up at 1 o'clock at the northwest corner of Mission and 3rd Street in downtown San Francisco. The community has been shocked by that recent push to close down medical marijuana dispensaries from the U.S. attorneys who have been pressuring landlords into evicting dispensary tenants. The protesters want to ask about Obama's campaign promise to not use scarce federal resources to overrule state laws, a policy that seems to have shifted in recent months. Expected to attend and possibly speak at the event today is Assemblyman Tom Ammiano and Harborside Health Center Director Steve DeAngelo. That event was originally scheduled to be at 11:30 a.m., but due to the president's schedule, it's pushed back, and it is already being reported reported by the San Francisco Chronicle that are hundreds of protesters assembling, and we'll bring you some more coverage tomorrow.
Yes, please get out there and make your voices heard. But let me see if I got this straight, Carrie. If I've got $7,500 and I want to pay rent on a storefront to get cannabis to cancer patients in San Francisco, Obama wants to shut me down. But if I have $7,500 to buy a catered dinner at his fundraiser, he himself being the son of a mother who survived cancer, that $7,500, that could be okay. I could spend the money, I could give it to Barack Obama to continue to shut down dispensaries, to continue to attack medical marijuana. I cannot use that $7,500 to purchase any marijuana to help sick and dying people, or to put together a grow that might help sick and dying people. I believe that's the status we're at right now. Good job, San Francisco protesters. Get out there if you're in the Bay Area. Make your voice heard. Woo, doggies, we got to take us a break. When we come back, we will have some Daily Toker tunes. We're going to Amsterdam for this one, so stick around.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
At Normal Show Live, we get more done before 9 a.m. than most tokers do all day.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, folks, we are still getting Greg settled back in jolly old England. He's actually in our backstage Skype chat at the moment, but the machine he's on doesn't seem to have a microphone, so he can't talk. He did want us to pass on a message. He says, tell them the UK is crap, basically. So there you go, message delivered.
Declaration of Independence, but that's fair enough.
Yeah, we did we did that 230 odd years ago, didn't we?
Jeez, how cliche, Greg. Come on. It's been like 200 and something years.
Oh, boy. So for today, I'm going to handle the Toker Tunes duties, and we're going to Amsterdam for this next one. I got a suggestion for this next artist from one of our listeners, a stasher named Mitch, who made this recommendation for a artist named Glebstar. Now, his sound is characterized by bumpy, grimy bass lines. I like it already. Groovy melodies, drums, and that dirty sound that he has developed in the past few years. His work stays versatile and ventures into the wild, unexplored parts of electronic music, yet they stay marked by their sincere hospitality to invite any adventurer who dares to trod into new fields. His eagerness to succeed goes hand in hand with his wish to give back. That's from his SoundCloud file out there. You can go to soundcloud.com/Glebstar, G-L-E-B-S-T-A-R, or YouTube, I think, Glebstar, and I think he's got Glebstar.com. Just Google Glebstar. I'm sure you'll find the guy. But here you go. This is some new electronic music for you. Glebstar with Breed. Also available on iTunes. Get your downloads now. Be right back after this.
Song for your iPod? Check out the daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu. Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
Oh, what a gift. Flame on, flame on if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Fire it up. Flame on, flame on if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Bully boy's a man. Flame on if you can.
marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Not worried about her. We gotta keep him gagged.
He's about ready to crack.
All you gotta do is keep him from having too many reefers.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
Here at Normal Show Live, we spend all week taking a serious look at the tragedy of American marijuana prohibition. But it is important to take a break and remember that we are a vibrant, diverse, and oftentimes hilarious community of people. So on Tuesdays, our friend, comedian Todd Armstrong, or Goob the Knob on Facebook and Twitter, joins us to expose the lighter side of lighting up with Todd's Toker Topics.
All right, folks, you've been waiting for it. We missed you last Tuesday, but we got double the Todd today. Yes. What's happening, my man?
Nothing much. How you been? How you been?
I'm doing good. You just returned from my home birth state, I understand?
Yes, Idaho Falls and Pocatello. Two nights of rough punching out of a way. I was in a the only bang-yourself dance club in Idaho Falls called Pepper Tree. It was hilarious. It was like watching people try to have sex with each other that had no business having sex with each other.
Oh, man. I know growing up in that area when I was a little kid, Idaho Falls Pocatello was always windy as hell. Windy?
It was pretty windy. I lucked out. It was surprising when it would just turn on and just blow the car into the next lane and then turn back off
yeah.
and be fine.
Just out of nowhere, just whoosh, and then nothing.
Yeah, it was impressive. We don't need trees, right? Whatever.
Well, all right. We've got a topic for today that, I mean, we could spend an hour on this topic, but we'll condense it. It's like that condensed milk. It's the essence of the topic.
Don't drink it whole, but you need all them vitamins.
That's right. So what do we got today?
Hypocrisy in the posers of the world. And that reason I wasn't here last week was because of specific posers that I can get into a little bit later.
All right. We'll talk about that in an hour, too. Have at it. Hypocrisy.
Well, I'd like first focus on the hatred of a plant in America today. I find it quite odd that these people that call themselves Christians that have never read the Bible hate a plant when God is love. I never understood how people can look over someone else's shoulder to tell them what to do. But I'm starting to figure that out. It's because the world's full of posers. Now, we've all grown up with posers. We all see the kid that's being a nerd with a calculator watch. We know he's not a real nerd because the real nerd's got math in their head, bitch. We know that. Like, you always seeing the kid walking around the mall with board shorts and pretending to be a surfer, but he can't swim when you push him into the pool. We know you're a poser. But it's our fault, because we accept these people, the MMA fighters, without the cauliflower, to somehow become our politicians. Bill Clinton, I did not inhale. Right. And you didn't have sexual relations with that girl. Barack Obama, you did inhale frequently, and that was the point. And for some reason, you're still president. George Bush, he said, fuck weed, pass the coke. Or at least that's what I imagined him saying a lot at parties in the 70s. Because I've read books. I don't understand why these politicians continue to focus on the hypocrisy of pushing prohibition when we know it's not a Schedule I drug, when it's not the truth. I mean, you want to focus on legalizing a drug, that's where people steer it our direction and flip it back to us. And you can spot a hypocrite by this, because they'll always say, well, why are you focusing so much on legalizing a drug? I'm not trying to legalize a drug. I'm trying to return a plant to its rightful status.
You're like, why don't you find something better to do? Like, why don't you get the death penalty overturned or focus on world hunger or cancer research or something? It's like, I actually am. Because I know that I could, by legalizing the re-legalizing a plant, affect well more lives than would ever be on the 12 death row inmates in the state, but the 2,600 nonviolent criminal drug offenders with just cannabis in the state. And those are low numbers with me removing everything back out. World hunger? I really don't need to suck George Clooney's dick in Darfur to know that if we just rechange some hemp seeds, we might have more people to feed. I recognize these things, and I realize that we need to educate the masses. We need to stop letting the hypocrites and posers run our world. We need to start making our version of scare tactics for political ads for stupid people. That's what we have to do. Because people are convinced of death panels when Sarah Palin says it, but they don't bother to read anything. We'll never get our advocates to be able to convey a message to someone that's against us because they don't want to listen. So we need to scare them into it. We need to make them feel like they're missing out on something in cannabis. Because these are the same people that are against marijuana that smoke it every night, like my in-laws. They're against these things where they use cannabis, but they've been convinced because when other people look over their shoulder that it's not all right. We need to stop living the lie ourselves. We need to stop thinking that Skechers shape-ups are going to help us with our fat asses. They're not going to. We need to stop telling kids that marijuana is a gateway drug. I have never done cocaine in my whole life, and I'm sitting here in front of you pleading logically to legalize a plant. I've never had the gateway. I'm not a drinker. This is something I provide for myself that I enjoy. That's also medicine that I've seen for my wife and others in our life. Why can't we have this? Because we sound like fools when we ask it for someone that says something like, Skechers shape-ups will do this. These are people that recognize that corn and sugarcane as being the greatest gifts of God, but for some reason a plant that hasn't done nearly the damage of sugarcane or corn is somehow evil and that of the devil. I don't understand this. I would like people just to open up their minds and their hearts and stop believing stupid shit before I start shipping in money for ad campaigns on political ads about alcohol. Does it make you gay? Question mark. Pot makes your penis bigger. Check in next Tuesday. I'm Todd. Thank you guys very much. Have a good night.
Right on. Todd's Toker Topics. Looking forward to that every Tuesday here. And, of course, you're out there performing. You just got back from Idaho. What's next on the road for Todd?
I will be down in Roseburg on Saturday – or Friday, I'm sorry, and then doing the Barfly bus tour for Halloween party this Saturday night in Portland. Going to be all over Portland making jokes in costume, I guess. So.
All right. Looking forward to it. Todd Armstrong, follow Goob the Knob on Twitter and Facebook. Get more of your comedy. And now we turn things over to an important public service announcement from Rock Against Drugs.
I'm John Bon Jovi, and I've been given a script to talk to you about drugs, rock and roll, having fun, a good time, and all that good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, drugs is not a part of my everyday routine. It's not everyday fun. It's not good for you. All right, so listen, think twice before you do drugs, because there ain't no winners out there doing it.
Normal has been the place to go for the latest studies and news on marijuana science, policy, and activism. For over a decade, one man at Normal has written and reviewed more studies and news stories regarding marijuana than most anyone on the planet. First as senior policy analyst and now as deputy director, Normal's Paul Amentano has written for major newspapers, academic journals, and magazines on the subject of cannabis and is frequently requested as an expert witness in the courtroom. His knowledge and experience are an amazing asset to the cannabis community. Available to you now in a segment we call Behind the Headlines with Paul Amentano.
All right, we go to the video for Paul Amentano on Russia TV.
Is the DEA playing politics with marijuana? All for the benefit of the government and Big Pharma at the expense of the average American? That's what marijuana advocates are arguing after a number of recent developments. The DEA has recently reclassified THC, the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana, to a Schedule 3 substance. While the marijuana plant itself remains a Schedule 1 substance, the kind that carries the harshest criminal penalties. Now, why would they do that? Well, apparently so that pharmaceutical companies can push products with naturally derived formations of THC. Meanwhile, Dr. Lyle E. Cracker, a professor at the University of Massachusetts, has dropped his nearly decade-long fight to persuade the government to allow him to grow marijuana for medical research. So, is the government really anti-marijuana, or do they just want to keep all the money that can be made from it at the top. Joining me to discuss it is Paul Armentano, Deputy Director of Normal and the co-author of Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? Paul, thanks so much for joining us. Now, first of all, can you give us a little bit more detail on this rescheduling? The DEA has said that marijuana has no scientifically proven medical value. So why now would they want pharmaceutical companies to be able to get their hands on it?
Well, just to be clear here, the DEA has announced their intent to reschedule both synthetic THC and plant-derived THC if the THC appears in FDA-approved products. So I don't want to jump the gun and imply this has already happened, but the DEA is on record saying that they are supportive of letting this change happen. Now, the reason, of course, they're doing this is because there is interest from several pharmaceutical companies who want to bring pharmaceutical products to market that are derived from compounds in the marijuana plant, because Big Pharma, just like millions of Americans and thousands of doctors, acknowledge, unlike the DEA, that marijuana holds medicinal value. And making this change will just typify this sort of political hypocrisy we have regarding what our federal policy says versus what the science says. This would be the equivalent of allowing vitamin C to be legal and to be marketed while prohibiting and incarcerating those who actually possess an orange. It doesn't make any sense.
Now, who really stands to benefit here? Because if Big Pharma is allowed to create products with this naturally derived THC, they probably have to get weed somewhere, right? And is the government then become their supplier?
You're actually correct. As you mentioned earlier, Lyle Craker, by dropping his suit, this allows the monopoly to be maintained that exists right now. Under federal law, only the federal government can produce marijuana for research purposes. And the DEA has been very clear that no other providers should be licensed for this purpose. So if a pharmaceutical company, in fact, was to bring a drug to market that contains naturally derived THC, they would have to actually get the THC from the federal government.
I'm just curious, how much does the government sell weed for?
You would have to ask them.
Okay, so they're not necessarily spilling all the beans on that one yet. But I've also heard, and in talking about the Craker case, people that are saying that the government's marijuana just isn't potent enough to do the proper medical research on it. Is that true?
Well, I certainly have not had the privilege of actually trying the government's marijuana, but I am told by reliable sources that, in fact, it is a very poor quality and not the sort of quality that clinical researchers who work with marijuana ideally would want to work with. Certainly, any junior high student can go to their junior high and arguably obtain better quality marijuana, and that's really the problem with marijuana prohibition and our existing policy.
So, I mean, in that case, you know, why would the government take such a strong stance when it comes to marijuana, where they don't want to put money into research to see if there might be possible benefits, but they're maybe willing to play with the pharmaceutical companies here?
Because in this case, they're actually responding to leverage that's been placed upon them by the pharmaceutical companies. There are four separate companies that have petitioned the Department of Health and Human Services and also the DEA to make this change. The DEA is not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. They're not doing this because they have suddenly acknowledged the literally thousands of years of existing evidence supporting marijuana's use as a therapeutic agent. They're doing this because certain companies are leaning on them to do so, and they're responding to that pressure.
But 15 states in the U.S. have already legalized medical marijuana. I would say that that's pressure as well, wouldn't you there? And yet, you know, if this really goes through, this rescheduling, those people would still be criminalized?
Yes, of course. If this policy was guided by science, or in fact, even if it was guided by public opinion, as you just noted, we would certainly have a much different public policy than the one we have now. Unfortunately, this policy for far too long has not been guided by science, nor has it been guided by what the public wants.
All right, Paul, and very quickly, do you think that it's only a matter of time until we do see this rescheduling go through?
I certainly do, and I don't, in and of itself, think the rescheduling is a bad thing. It's an acknowledgement of marijuana's medical utility, and it will allow for the promulgation of products based on marijuana. That ultimately is a good thing, but we shouldn't be criminalizing patients in the interim.
Okay, I want to thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see if the government does make a lot of money off this. I'm very curious to know how much they sell their weed for. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Want more than just your normal show live? Get your daily fix of marijuana news and interviews on the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the weekday podcast available on iTunes and at stash.normal.org.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Watch Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher live from Rolla J Studios every Friday at 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays Saturday at 7 p.m., Monday at 2 a.m., and Wednesdays at 8 a.m. right here on the Normal Network.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
Radical Rant.
All right, welcome back, folks. Got to make some comments here regarding a story that I saw in the BayCitizen.org, coming out of the Bay Area. And this is in response to these threatening letters from the U.S. attorneys. The story talks about the feds, and it's entitled Feds Target Leader of Marijuana Legalization Movement. The feds move against Richard Lee's dispensary smacks of politics. Now, this is in reference to letters from U.S. attorney Melinda Hogg, who sent a letter to the landlord of Richard Lee's medical marijuana dispensary, coffee shop Blue Sky. Now, of course, Richard Lee was the soft-spoken libertarian in the wheelchair who founded Oaksterdam University, teaches the cultivation classes and business training, and put $1.5 million of his own money into Proposition 19. Now, these U.S. attorneys have announced this crackdown. They're, sending these threatening letters to landlords, trying to spook them into not renting or, canceling the leases of all these medical marijuana dispensaries. Advocates, of course, are crying foul. Our own Dale Gehringer from California Normal said it smacks of politics. But she says this, Melinda Hogg said, letters have been sent to stores, quote, that sell marijuana and allow people to smoke marijuana near schools, parks, and other places where children learn and play, end quote. Now, coffee shop Blue Sky, located near Oaksterdam University, is also a block away from Envision Academy Arts of Academy of Arts and Technology, a charter high school. Now, this is one of the things that's always bothered me about when we talk about the dispensary industries that are going on here, is there need to be a certain distance away from schools. As if they're really close to schools, that will lead high school kids to come into these coffee shops and to be using marijuana. That's not at all what's going on here. These places check IDs. It's not a free-for-all. It's not, you know, selling to a bunch of kids. And this Oaksterdam, where I've been in this area, this Academy Charter High School must be in some tall building on a third or fourth floor anywhere, because the neighborhood there is nothing like any neighborhood where you'd see, you know, playgrounds and schools and parks like that. It's more of a city neighborhood. But again, it's just the excuse they're using here to go after Richard Lee. Now, Lee has said in the past that if the federal government shuts down the medical marijuana system in Oakland, we will be forced to operate under Measure Z. Now, Measure Z is what they passed locally in Oakland. Just, you know, City of Oakland voters passed this in 2004, which allows for private clubs where pot is sold and consumed. So it's not like, you know, it's going to go anywhere. It's just Oakland will be taking care of it rather than state of California with respect to the, you know, sales tax revenues and so forth. But as we go on here, and to get into this, I want to get right to the meat of this rant, which has to do with Steve D'Angelo and some of his comments. Now, those of you who may know, Steve D'Angelo is the head of Harborside Dispensary, which is, you know, huge, huge, you know, one of the first and one of the biggest dispensaries in Northern California area there. And he's also the star of this upcoming Discovery Channel series, Weed Wars. Now, I've spoken with Steve on many occasions. We are at a lot of the same events with one another, and we've talked, and I've seen him speak at normal conferences and so on. So I was a little taken aback by these comments. Let me just read them to you from the baycitizen.org. To some, the backlash against Oakland's dispensary seems like retribution for its lenient attitude towards marijuana dispensaries. Last year, the city backed off of a plan to permit four enormous pot farms only after Hogg issued a stern warning. Lee's Oaksterdam was also the headquarters for the Proposition 19. Quote, I warned everybody from the city council on down who was pushing for those four huge farms that there would be consequences, said Steve D'Angelo, who runs Harborside. And I warned people who were pushing Prop 19 that losing elections would have consequences. In large part, what we're seeing is the consequences of an overreach by our community, end quote, D'Angelo said. So here we are getting what I would say the mother of all I gots mine comments, right? I gots my Harborside, I gots my TV show, I gots my millions and millions of dollars being made allegedly as a non-profit, right? I gots mine, but it's all those people who are overreaching. It's all those legalizers out there who are overreaching. It's all those people that want to turn marijuana into an actual for-profit business, to actually be above board with it, to be honest about what we're doing with it. It's those people that are the problem, Steve. Now, I'm not the only one that's noticed this. Mickey Martin out at CannabisWarrior.com has also chimed in on this, noting the same quote here. And he wants to know how, you know, it's everyone else that's overreaching on this that causes the feds to come down. And it's not this McDonald's of marijuana that Steve D'Angelo has built up when he's been in numerous glossy magazines, Rosebud, Ring a Bell, discussing how successful this model was going to be. It was him pushing the envelope, and glad that he did. I am happy for everyone in the marijuana industry that is pushing the envelope on this, that is instituting business models, trying to take this to the next level. I'm happy for all of that. But when the chips are down and when the pushback comes from the feds, we don't start turning on our own and pointing fingers at the other people as if they are the problem. Pot, meat, kettle, okay? Here's somebody here who's been pushing it as far as possible, reaching as far as possible to get involved with this, bringing it to the feds' attention. And you want to blame Richard Lee and those of us who want to be honest about marijuana and legalize it even for healthy people? Now, as he goes on, this goes back to the East Bay Express in Oakland. Mickey Martin's bringing this up on Cannabis Warrior because if you remember correctly, it wasn't Stephen D'Angelo warning everybody from the city council on down that these mega grows in Oakland, these warehouse grows, would be a big disaster. In fact, he was one of the ones trying to get one of those mega grows. East Bay Express wrote in 2010, as traditional market forces began to exert themselves on the once marginalized illicit drug, a spectrum of reformers has emerged from pragmatic capitalists on one end to idealistic longtime radicals on another. This spread is evidence in the once close relationship between Wilcox and D'Angelo, who are now estranged. Those two, Wilcox and D'Angelo, worked together for months devising a plan for large commercial grows in Oakland, but had a falling out over control of the facility and have begun airing their differences in public. Now, going back to the Bay Citizen article, Stevie D'Angelo does get a quote in here, trying to, have it both ways. He says, although D'Angelo and Lee have had their differences, D'Angelo denounced the attack on Lee's dispensary. Quote, Richard Lee is an absolute pillar of the medical cannabis movement. He paved the way for a lot of us. It is absolutely critical that the community stand up and support Coffee Shop Blue Sky. Okay, well, that's nice. You want to have it both ways here, but you want to point the finger at Richard Lee for Prop 19 and point the finger at people in Oakland trying to make these mega grows, saying they're the ones that's overreaching, and that's what's caused this this blowback from the federal government. I'm just not buying it. I was there at the Normal conference when you were giving your speech on Flip the Switch. Remember that one? Flip the Switch, how all of these medical marijuana businesses like Harborside would provide a model to show people that commerce in cannabis wasn't a bad thing, and then that would naturally transition into the legalization of cannabis for everyone when people realized that this model of dispensing marijuana was safe and effective. Remember that? Remember Flip the Switch, how medical and Harborside was all going to lead to legalization? Uh-huh. Now what we're hearing is this idea that 98% of all cannabis use, this is Stevie D'Angelo writing in O'Shaughnessy's, the Medical Marijuana Journal, saying 90% of all cannabis use is medical, right? This new health and wellness model, this old Dennis Perone idea, all use is medical. If you're using cannabis regularly, it's got to be medical. What are you trying to get high for? You must have been down. Well, if you're down, that's depression. So if you're using marijuana, it must be medical. Well, sure, we can go that way if you want to, but if we start stretching words to that extent, then words begin to not have any meaning, okay? We know what we mean by medical marijuana in that people that have to have marijuana or else their lives, they cannot lead a good quality of life. People like me, I can lead a great quality of life without marijuana. I like to use marijuana. I choose to use marijuana. For wellness, you want to call that wellness? That's fine. But the point is, anytime you keep it in this health and wellness model, we're talking about marijuana being something that is not something that's just a choice for enjoyment or relaxation. We turn it into something that is something that we have to have doctors for, something that we have to go and get prescriptions for. That's not what I'm looking for here. As we continue on this story, Mickey Martin in WeedWarrior.com has an update as well, and he points out that the Harborside, as went through this IRS thing, is a $22 million dispensary that we're going on here, and that Stevie is going to be in a show called Weed Wars, a show on pretty much public television. I mean, Discovery is like basic cable, right? So pretty much everybody gets to see this thing, Weed Wars, about commerce in marijuana. So you cannot sit here and point the finger at Richard Lee and these Oakland mega grow operators trying to commercialize marijuana and say that they are the fault for the overreach when you've got a damn TV show waving it in the feds' faces. Hey, look, we got marijuana business. We're selling marijuana. You cannot come out and point that finger at other people. Talk about hypocrisy, Todd. I mean, this is just what we were talking about on the show today in the Toker Topics. This is the hypocrisy that is just evident throughout the marijuana movement, even among the people who are on our side, even among the supporters. And if there is blowback happening from the feds, it's not blowback against any one particular thing. It's blowback against the entire medical marijuana movement, and we're all a part of it. As I said on our previous rant last week, we all hang together or we all hang separately. There are are no good actors and bad actors in this. As far as the feds are concerned, we're all bad actors. We're all criminals. We're all felons in this situation. There are no good felons, no bad felons. We're all felons, according to them. And if they succeed at this divide-and-conquer strategy, especially at the grass tops, when we're talking about the millionaires like Stevie DeAngelo and Richard Lee that have the power to actually make things happen in this in these election cycles, then we are done for. This pendulum will swing all the way back to the Reagan 80s. I've been warning people about this. We have to be vigilant. We have to stick together. We have to fight for one plant. Yeah. All right.
So,
I'm Radical Russ for Cannabis Carrie and Todd Armstrong. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you.
We're going to stick around for hour two, take your calls, and talk a little bit more about it at 971-533-7111. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.